48 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers is available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD-HD. I'm Gregory Berg, and it is usually on the second Thursday of the month that we have the pleasure of having in our studios Nan Calvert to offer up a conversation of something related to the environment around us, or something related to making all of us more environmentally conscious. And that's certainly the goal of today's morning show, because we're going to be talking about EcoFest, which is a big event that draws attention to a number of different environmental issues. And this is an event that's coming up this Saturday, 9 to 1, on the Racine campus of Gateway Technical College. And Nan has invited Abby Ford, who is from Gateway Technical College. She is manager of community relations and communications, and she is someone who has a major hand in the behind-the-scenes logistics for putting this big event together. So, Nan Calvert, Abby Ford, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here again.
Yeah. And Abby, good to have you here.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
So, Nan, I want to have you say a word as somebody who cares a lot about the environment and has been involved in a number of different organizations and causes and so on. What you see as kind of the overarching value of kind of big headline events like EcoFest, what is the point of putting something like this together? And for that matter, what's the point of attending an event like this?
And what is the point of life, right?
Yeah, right. That's all.
Well, because, you know, one of the biggest benefits of a large event like this is the sheer number of people that you can reach. And the fact that it appeals to people of all ages. There's something basically for everybody to see and do and experience. And essentially, it's in a way, it's kind of like a clearinghouse. There are so many different kinds of educators and vendors and displays, so many things going on that give people an idea of things that they can do in their own home, in their own front yards, in their own backyards, in their schools, in their workplaces, to lessen the load. In other words, lighten the impact that we have. Hmm. When you think about there being nearly 8 billion people on the face of the planet, it's imperative that we do better than what we're doing now. And an event like EcoFest Racine is a perfect venue for helping people understand what they can do.
I was thinking that even just perusing the website for the event and looking at some of the presentations and some of the vendors that will be there, it seems like it really underscores something that you often say on these programs, Nan, which is the interconnectedness of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
That and that in a lot of ways, you know, people might have kind of a generalized concern, and it might for them be acted out in not killing their dandelions anymore or making sure they recycle or whatever, but you just don't necessarily stop to think about all of the different things in all of the different aspects of your life mm-hmm. that can have an impact. And it seems like an event like this is designed in part to just underscore all the different ways that we should be thinking about this.
Exactly. In a way, it's kind of a roadmap for people who want to do something, who want to be better stewards of the earth, but they don't know where to start. I was at an event last weekend, and a woman came up to me, and she was looking at all of the information about watersheds and water quality, and she said, I don't know anything about this. I don't even know what to ask you. I don't even know what I don't know, she said. So I think that, you know, an event like EcoFest Racine is perfect not only for people who are already doing things, but for people who are just starting out. You know, then it's not so intimidated, and you don't have to be afraid of asking questions because we're all in this together. And you're right, it is all connected, whether it's water quality issues or it's electronics recycling or whatever the case may be.
Right. And it's and this is an event where it's not big complicated lectures that are going to be given. It's really designed, in at least in part, for the beginner or somebody kind of new to this, sort of maybe just now awakening to all of this. So Abby Ford, how long have you been at Gateway?
So I've been at Gateway for about 2 years. I've been in the position I am in right now with helping with the events for about 6 months.
Oh, brand new.
Yep.
So this is your first EcoFest.
Yes, this is my first EcoFest, but it's shaping up to, I hope it's going to be a really good one. We have a lot of exciting things planned. It's going to be a great celebration of our environment with the community, with everything from kids' activities, informational displays. We have some presentations. We have electronics recycling. We have an art exhibit. It's really just a wide range.
Very good. Explain under whose auspices EcoFest is put together.
Sure. Gateway puts Gateway and Greening Greater Racine put together EcoFest through a partnership. We work to reach out to vendors and organizers in our community who really work to raise awareness about different issues with the environment and different ways that people in the community can really start to make an impact in their own lives, whether it's something in their yard or just using less plastic or learning about how the bees are being impacted by different things, just a wide range of things.
Very good. What is personally your stake in this? I mean, what are your own personal responsibilities with EcoFest?
With EcoFest, I have had a hand in just about everything. I've helped organize vendors. I've helped with the kids' activities. I've helped. We're doing door prizes this year, which is something new. So as part of the committee, we've kind of had a conversation about that as well, helping organize the art piece of it. There's a lot that goes on, and if it's happening at EcoFest, I've probably touched it. So it's been an exciting year being involved in this for the first time and really seeing kind of the passion in the committee that comes behind this event and the way that we're hoping it'll make an impact in our community.
Very good. Nan, can you explain to us a little bit more about Greening Greater Racine? Do you know very much about that organization?
I know something about the organization. Of course, the famous and wonderful David Rhodes is always associated with Greening Greater Racine. It started a number of years ago as a group who came together, a group of like-minded individuals. You know, how can we make Racine more resilient from an environmental standpoint? How can we make Racine more sort of ecologically literate? And so people from all walks of life, so the Eco Justice Center, and then eventually the EcoFest Racine people, and you know, people from the local nature centers, the local Wild Ones group, business people, people who have been in the environmental community in Racine for quite some time, came together and started working on projects and initiatives. And now, as I understand it, they're all sort of in work groups or task-related groups getting things accomplished. So, for example, a number of months ago, we had Rose Woodruff and Linda Busha on about their composting initiative in Sturtevant, and that is part of Greening Greater Racine. So they're out there working sort of tirelessly on behalf of the environment in Racine County. There are lots of people out there.
Right, and doing a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, Compost Crusaders are the first organization to be giving a presentation at EcoFest on Saturday. So 9:30, and it ties into what we were talking about earlier. It's called Composting 101. So it sounds like it's a presentation that is designed with the inexperienced home composter in mind. So while we're on that schedule, Abby, well, first, before we talk about the demonstrations, talk about kind of how the day is put together and, for that matter, sort of how the grounds are put together.
Sure.
When somebody comes to EcoFest, typically sort of how do you take in the event?
Right. So as I mentioned, there's a lot that happens, so it can possibly be a bit overwhelming, but there's plenty of time to do everything that we have there. We encourage the event takes place in the Lake Building on the Racine campus, so we encourage our visitors to park in the parking lot that's along the lake and enter through the lakeside doors of the Lake Building. So you'll walk up a big flight of stairs, and when you come in, you'll see a welcome table where you'll get a giveaway and a program for the event, and then you'll immediately see all of the vendor area where you can peruse all the booths and displays and the items that some vendors may have for sale. There will be a kids area where there are fun hands-on activities for kids that help teach them about the environment and the impact they can make. Just around the corner, there's an area for schools to have displays, so you can see kind of what our schools are working on to help impact the environment and what the students are doing. And in that same kind of area of the event, there's our presentation room where all of the presentations will be taking place. Upstairs for the event, we will have an art display from the Vital Art Project. So they'll have a number of artists who will be displaying work that has an environmental theme or is made from repurposed materials or found materials. I think that's the general scope of it. There will also be, you know, snacks and food for sale. So you can really come and make a day of it, see everything. And then the Racine St. Patrick's Day Parade is that same day. So you can start at Gateway and head on over there. Have a whole day of family fun. So.
I think I love the sound of that. I know that, you know, I was, first of all, when I went last year, I was really impressed by some of the artwork that was on display. And this plethora of vendors is very impressive. I know, Nan, you yourself personally are not going to be at EcoFest, but you're helping to make sure that at least one vendor booth is well-manned on Saturday.
Yes, it will be well-staffed by a group of wonderful volunteers representing Root Pike Watershed Initiative Network. We'll have our stormwater runoff model there for people to play with and learn from. Sparkles, our water spaniel mascot, will be there to delight everybody. We have lots of giveaways, and we will be giving away a wonderful rain barrel. So please do stop by our display. I think you'll find it fun and beneficial.
Terrific. So, Abby, let's run down the schedule of presentations that are going to be happening on Saturday. And I've already mentioned Composting 101 by the Compost Crusaders, which Nan had mentioned earlier. Nan, just say a quick word about just how doable composting is and how it's something that people shouldn't be worried about.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. So composting has been going on since the beginning of time. But for some reason, there are lots of communities that still have ordinances that prevent people from composting. You know, once you learn the basics, which are really, really simple, there really shouldn't be any difficulty with composting. And especially now with initiatives like Compost Crusaders and Compost 101 and other things all across the country, those ordinances sort of need to fade away. So really, composting is allowing plant matter to decompose rather than throwing it in the landfills. Food waste represents an enormous amount of substance in our landfills, but it doesn't need to be that way anymore at all, since we can all learn how to compost. And so what happens is that over time, with simple and correct conditions, your plant-based food waste just decomposes into compost. Compost is not soil, but it is a component of soil. And once it's composted, it can be used with terrific results in people's food gardens or in your flower gardens or just as a soil conditioner in general. So at home, you do it in a small container. Some people do vermicomposting, which involves worms in a bin that allows them to survive, and it's layered with various things, and you put your food scraps in there, and then the worms do the composting for you and sort of speed up the process. Other people have composting bins that they use that sit outside, and there are probably, I don't know, 10,000 different kinds of composting bins out there. And then people who have larger processes going on at their homes or whatever sometimes make just large piles of compost that are turned periodically, and then they just break down naturally, and then you use it wherever, you know, you can. In your house plants, you can use it. You can use it outside. It's a wonderful thing.
And our first presentation on Saturday will tell people everything they know about how to get started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what happens after that, Abby, in terms of the presentations for Saturday's EcoFest?
So as you mentioned, at 9:30 is our Composting 101. At 10 a.m., we have a presentation on zero waste in your home. And that is going to talk about everything from how you can refuse plastic materials that you might be handed at, you know, a drive-through or a grocery store or whatever, to how you can repurpose, reuse, recycle, and they say even rot your things that you have at
compost,
home.
Yeah.
Okay. So R.
Exactly. Lots of R's. At 10:30, we'll have a presentation on do-it-yourself green household products. So they're going to be demonstrating how you can make different cleaning products and supplies for your home out of green materials. At 11 a.m., we will have a presentation about green home building and remodeling, talking about how you can make energy-efficient improvements to your home and earth-friendly improvements. And then to wrap everything up at 11:30, we'll have a presentation on how to make 3 healthy homemade salad dressings.
There you go. So, and then in the meantime, we have all of these different vendors that will be having their displays available. And probably don't have time to run down the entire list, but it's quite a long list.
It is. Yeah.
What would be some of the more notable ones that people should be aware of?
We have, it's really everything you can think of. We have Hawthorne Hollow will be there talking about understanding the stewardship of, you know, the nature and environmental education. We have some college groups that'll be there from UW Parkside, UW Madison, Gateway, talking about their environmental clubs or environmental programs, things that college students can do to get involved in making an earth-friendly impact. And then we have, you know, representatives from the city of Racine talking about forestry, wastewater utility. The Division of Neighborhood Services is going to be there talking about home building and home remodeling as well. We have everything from composting to electricity to energy efficiency to, you know, the water initiatives. Really, if it's talking about the environment, there's a good chance that we're going to touch on it in some way at this event.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. One thing we haven't yet talked about is that a component of EcoFest is a place for recycling, electronics recycling. So explain how this is done at EcoFest, the professional firm that you work with, and what people are invited to bring if they choose.
Yeah. So one of Gateway's IT programs does this service learning project so they can gain some hands-on experience and also help the community. So they partner with Casbro, which is a professional electronics recycling firm. They'll have a big truck down near the parking lot outside of the Lake Building where you can bring, you know, your phones, your old laptops, old hard drives, a wide range of electronics that they can help you recycle. They'll help you destroy hard drives to make sure any data that you have on there won't be accessible to anyone else. The only big things that they don't take are TVs and CRT computer monitors, so the big old computer monitors they will not take. But everything else, laptops, computer towers or modems, any other electronics you can think of, there's a good chance that they will recycle for you.
Very good. Nan, this is probably one of the banes of our modern existence right now. Mm-hmm. It feels like one of those things that caught up with us without us realizing the kind of monster that was created. And right. It's really hard to know how to turn back the clock and deal with this huge problem.
Right. I mean, specifically with regard to technology, it just evolved so quickly and made so many pieces of technology, like certain kinds of televisions and monitors and a whole plethora of other things, utterly obsolete. I mean, you can't use them anymore. But they're.
I mean, even if you wanted to.
Even
I mean,
if you wanted to, right. Many it just things, doesn't yeah. work anymore.
Right.
And there's a wealth of resources that goes into manufacturing them. It goes into their actual makeup. So what do you do with it? You know, you can't just dump it in the landfill. But there is an initiative going now. It's a beta project. And I don't remember all of the big manufacturers that are involved. But what they're going to do is accept their products back. So in other words, if it's a plastic container of some sort, these particular manufacturers will have an arrangement where the empty container will be picked up and then refilled again. It's not going to be turned into yet another plastic park bench or something. And they're trialing it in just a few states here. And I hope, I remember listening to it on the story about on it on the radio, I just hope that will take root. Because if that does, then hopefully it will spill into everything else that becomes eventually disposable so that we don't really have so many disposables anymore. We just have reusables. They're repurposed in some way. Because, plastic really isn't all that recyclable. It just turns it into just another plastic thing that we can't then recycle. How many park benches can we put out there, right?
Right.
So,
or patio furniture.
Or patio furniture, exactly. Yeah. So hopefully that sort of a project will inspire other manufacturers of other things to do the same. You know, it's a beta project. It's just baby steps. But, I think if we kind of all get behind it and send in letters and comments of support for these companies that are going to do it, hopefully it will take hold.
Interesting. That reminds me, for those of our listeners who observe Lent and for people who observe Lent, it often means giving up something, maybe chocolate or something else. But I read someplace that there are a lot of churches that are encouraging people to give up plastic
right.
for Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Not that would be an easy matter in the
it
world
isn't.
In which we live, but I mean, to at least reduce the amount of plastic that you take into your life as much as possible is an interesting starting point. And
I mean,
just to think about it.
It really is a struggle to avoid using plastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you go to the store, finding a glass container is a search.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. Finding things that are not overpackaged is an adventure.
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole idea of a manufacturer, a supplier of something, taking its container back and reusing it is not a new idea.
Right.
I mean, a long time ago, we had something called the milkman. And you put your empty glass milk bottles out and you got new ones with milk in them, and that's what we did. And it's such a simple thing to do.
Sure. Or your bottle of pop with a $5 or 5 cent deposit. And let's get back to some of that
right.
again. And that's what you're saying is what might be potentially happening.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So again, we want to remind people that this electronics recycling is one facet of EcoFest. Abby, is there anything else that we have forgotten about all that's going on with EcoFest on Saturday?
I think we covered most of it. We're also something new this year is we will be doing door prizes. So every family that comes in will get an entry slip, and we have some great door prizes that Green and Greater Racine was able to collect from different members of our community. So each family will be able to enter for whatever one best fits their interests, and then they'll be contacted if they are a winner. So.
Very good. I suspect, Abby, you must be impressed in your relatively short time at Gateway at how much Gateway cares about issues related to the environment as an
right.
institution.
Mm-hmm. It's something that I really love about Gateway as an organization is they really are committed to sustainability. We really do a lot to try to reduce our carbon footprint here and to educate the community about environmental responsibility. Our Center for Sustainability on the Racine the Kenosha campus is a great resource and can show a lot of different ways that you can make a home energy efficient and learn about different ways that you can make your own life sustainable. They have a lot of great workshops that they offer up there throughout the year. So it's just really, it's impressive to me how an organization as large as Gateway is so committed to something like sustainability.
Right. And you think about everybody, for instance, that goes to Gateway, in a sense, gets to see that, experience that, and we hope take some of those practices and principles into their own private lives.
Exactly.
So remind our listeners once again about the when and the where of EcoFest.
Right. So EcoFest will be held this Saturday, March 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lake Building on Gateway's Racine campus, which is on Main Street in Racine.
Very good. And we hope a lot of people will turn out. It looks right now like the forecast for Saturday is sunny and 39.
Ooh.
So after some nasty today and tonight and maybe a little tomorrow, it should be a gorgeous day on Saturday. So
awesome.
Hope a lot of people will turn out for EcoFest 2019. Abby Ford, who is Community Relations and Communications Manager here at Gateway and someone with a major hand in EcoFest 2019, thank you for being here on the morning show today.
Thanks for having me.
Nan, I think you have several events aside from EcoFest that you want to tell our listeners about.
Yes, I do, actually. So Hawthorne Hollow on March 20th will be the March Equinox Full Moon Celebration from 6:45 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. You'll be celebrating the spring special day of Equal Day and Equal Night paired with a full moon. All ages are welcome, and it's free. They would like you to register by email so they can make plans. So you would email Hawthorne Hollow, that's one word, at wi.rr.com. Riverbend Nature Center is having Sugaring Off Pancake Breakfasts as usual, an extremely popular event in our community. They're done every Sunday in March from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Adults are $8, children 10 and under are $5, and kids under 3 are free. It's a really fun event, and when the weather's nice, you can go out in the sugar bush, if you will, and walk the trails and just have a really wonderful family time at Riverbend. And last but certainly not least, Pringle Nature Center is holding a vernal equinox hike on Friday, March 22nd from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. You're going to search for early spring risers and learn different cultures welcomed the long days and warmer weather. Registration is required. It's a $5 fee, but it's free for friends of Pringle Nature Center. That's not the only thing going on in our community, but those are some of the major events that are happening. March is always a very busy time because spring comes back and you have maple sugaring and you have all kinds of events and people want to get out of the house and go outside and listen to the birds and
of course they
find
do.
Out what's going on.
Of course. All right. Well, Nan Calvert, we appreciate you outlining some of the other things that are going on. And remind us again where you're going to be on Saturday instead of EcoFest.
Well, I'll be at Racine EcoFest in spirit. I'm going to be educating and displaying the Root Pike Watershed Initiative wares at an event in New Berlin called Discover New Berlin. It's a community and family event. There'll be lots and lots of vendors and displays there, and it's at the New Berlin West High School Field House from 9 until 2. So if you have a chance, come on out there.
Very good. Nan Calvert, thanks again for being here on The Morning Show. And once again, Abby Ford, we appreciate you being with us as well. Part two of The Morning Show coming up in just a moment here on WGTD. It's 8:39. And for this portion of WGTD's morning show, we're going to be talking about money and maybe your money, maybe money that you actually have coming to you that is unclaimed. Unclaimed funds. We're talking specifically about residents of Racine County and the possibility that you might have unclaimed funds that rightfully belong to you. And we'll talk about sort of logistics by which you can check to see if you have unclaimed funds and how you can go about claiming them. And although we're talking specifically about how this works in Racine County, a lot of the information that we're going to be covering today certainly applies to Kenosha County and Walworth County as well, at least in a general sense. We're happy to have with us Jane Nicolai, who is Racine County Treasurer, and from her staff, Ann Malerskoff, who is a paralegal for Racine County. And this is an issue which they deal with very specifically, and I appreciate this opportunity for us to explore some of the most commonly asked questions about this. Jane Nicolai, Ann Malerskoff, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Good to have you here. Ann, you facilitated this interview to take place, as you did with our last conversation. Explain why this is an especially appropriate time for us to be talking about this topic.
Well, everybody can use a little extra money, and this is one way to check to see if you have it coming, you know, coming to you. So it's a pretty easy thing to check to see if you have. The information's right up on our website. You can look it up under your name. And if you do have money that is, you know, coming to you, then you can just contact our office, and there's a process you can go about to claim it.
And we should say that one reason this conversation's happening now is because of the list that was published and or updated on, I think, towards the end of January, so the end of last month. That's so explain what that is or was.
Well, that list is a list of unclaimed funds and the people that the money is assigned to. And that was published in the Journal Times newspaper, like you said, at the end of January. And that list is also up on our website as well.
So, Jane Nicolai, explain, first of all, what these unclaimed funds tend to be. I mean, how is it that this unclaimed money is out there? Typically, what sort of transactions are they a result of, or in what way does this sort of unclaimed money sort of come into existence?
Well, statutorily, according to Wisconsin state law, the county treasurer is responsible for publishing the list of all uncashed checks. So they're uncashed checks from Racine County and from all the local municipalities. So the bulk of the checks are really from the Village of Mount Pleasant or City of Racine, Village of Caledonia, other entities outside of Racine County. A lot of times they're employee checks. They didn't cash their mileage check. They're jury duty checks. They're inmate trust fund account. Tax intercept refunds, security deposits. So various funds that people were being reimbursed a lot of times from local municipalities is the bulk of it.
Right. And if an envelope comes to you in the mail and it doesn't say on the outside there's money in here or there's a check in here, it might be the kind of envelope that might get put aside or tossed aside. And I suppose in some cases, it maybe never reaches somebody in the first place.
Right, because the mailing address has changed. A lot of times these are individuals that move. They're renters, not homeowners, so they move. So by the time the check is mailed to them, they've moved.
Right. Ahead of us talking about some specifics, what can you tell us about how applicable what we are talking about is going to be for a listener from Kenosha County or a listener from Walworth County? Does this, generally speaking, happen in the same way in these other counties? And I'm not sure to what extent you're even certain of that, but what can you tell us about that?
By state of Wisconsin law, every county treasurer must publish the list in the local newspaper by January 31st. So it applies equally to Kenosha. Kenosha's process is a little different, where the individuals to claim the funds go to the actual municipality that had the uncashed check, where Racine County, the county treasurer assumes responsibility for all the funds, and we take all the claims. Where Kenosha County, there's five different lists, five different places to claim.
So the responsibility is a bit dispersed, and in this case, it's resting on your shoulders and the shoulders of Ann Maliskoff, your paralegal, as you try to handle this. So let's talk about the most basic thing, which is if somebody looks at the list that was published in the newspaper or on your website, then what is the next thing that they are supposed to do?
Well, in order to claim their fund, if they do find out that they have one, there's a couple of ways that they can go about it. They can either come into our office, and there's an affidavit that they would fill out. They would have to present a form of photo ID, and then we'd fill that out, and then we would give that to our finance department, and they would send them a check for it. They can also do it themselves online through our website at racinecounty.com. They would go to the county treasurer's page and then to the link for unclaimed funds. And the list is there, as well as common questions and answers. And then there's also a link to a copy of the affidavit that they can print out, fill out, and they can also mail it to us as well.
Very good. So you're trying to make this as simple and painless as possible. And
yes.
Typically getting money you have owed to you is going to be fairly painless anyway. But it's nice that there aren't complicated hoops through which someone has to jump. Let's talk about a few.
I was going to say, one important thing on the affidavit, if they're going to mail it in, it would have to be notarized. Mm-hmm. If they're going to send it in.
All right.
So that's one important element they would need to have.
Right. That helps to prevent some unfortunate fraud occurring, which might otherwise mm-hmm. be all too possible.
Exactly.
Let's talk about a couple things that could be potential complications. And one of them might be if somebody looks at this list and they see a name of somebody who is deceased, maybe their own parent or grandparent or some other close family member. What is somebody supposed to do in that particular situation?
We need a copy of the death certificate. So there is a process for that, too, because that does happen with especially family members. They will send us the death certificate and fill out the affidavit, and we would need their proof of identity and their relationship to the deceased person.
And so are there specific guidelines then? I mean, if my cousin passed away, I would assume that I'm not necessarily entitled to take these unclaimed funds for myself. I mean, mm-hmm. how does that work? Is that laid out very specifically in the statute?
Well, we do have the process on our website on the questions and answers. And yes, so a personal representative of the estate would need to submit the affidavit. And like Jane said, we would have to have a valid photo ID and a copy of the death certificate. And then they would need to bring or send all that documentation to our office so we can validate that they are indeed claiming it for someone who is deceased and they have the authority to do so.
Very good. What about if somebody's name has changed? Does that end up presenting kind of a vexing complication in all of this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we have had that happen a few times this year already. If someone's name is changed through marriage or divorce or whatever, they would have to bring or send proof of their identification now, as well as proof of identification from before the change occurred. So if it changed you to a marriage, bring in the copy of the marriage license, for example.
Okay. One of the frequently asked questions on your list would not have dawned on me until I read it there, and that is the matter of if someone is incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Does this in any way render them either ineligible to receive funds that would otherwise be coming to them, or does it change the process by which those funds can be claimed?
That is actually a common occurrence for the unclaimed funds. We just received a letter this week from an inmate claiming the funds that he had heard he had them. The only change in the process is we mail them the affidavit form. They have it notarized and mail it back to us, and they can identify where they want the check mailed to. It would be in their name, but if they want to have it mailed to their parent or something, we can do that for them.
Gotcha. So in other words, you have made provisions to allow for obviously what would be uncommon experience or situation for an inmate who cannot make their way to your office the way someone else perhaps could. Very good. So what kind of timeline are we talking about within which this needs to occur?
People can come in and claim their money up until August 8th of this year. That's the last date that the funds can be claimed.
What happens after that date if they remain unclaimed?
By state law, then the county treasurer transfers the money to the general bank account of the county and its county funds after that.
Wow. So I assume that happens a fair amount. Can you give us at least a rough idea? For instance, from last year, was it maybe most of the funds remained unclaimed, or roughly half and half, or is it hard to generalize?
Well, we worked pretty hard last year to try to get the information out to people to let them know that they did indeed have unclaimed funds. So we later on in the process, we would send letters to people to try to get them to be aware of this. But I would say a lot of it does still remain unclaimed.
The bigger dollar amounts get cashed. Mm-hmm. 90% of the money is under $20.
Ah.
So a lot of people, it's not worth their effort to claim an $11 check.
Right.
But the $1,000 ones, we go through every effort we can to try to reach people with the larger ones.
Absolutely. We should probably also clarify, this might seem like a point that doesn't need to be made, but I think all of the talk about the recent government shutdown and how that slowed things down quite a lot at the IRS and slowed down the whole process of monies being processed and sent out and so on. That has nothing to do with Racine County, and I would assume that the wheels are still spinning just as quickly as ever and that this process is completely unimpeded by any of that.
Correct.
Very good. So at the moment, what are you busy doing in terms of this matter? I mean, I know you have all kinds of other responsibilities, but in terms of this, is this sort of the moment where it's kind of a waiting game? You wait for people to come, and then at what point do you start going after them with a little more concerted effort to try to track them down?
Probably in about a month, we'll send letters to all the individuals with the larger amounts. And then I reach out to the community leaders, the ministers of the various parishes and the youth groups. And we're planning to meet at the library and have a day where Ann and I are there at the Racine Public Library with the lists so people can claim it there. So we're trying to do a lot of different outreach.
Right. Mm-hmm. You had a copy of this is from the Journal Times.
Yes.
So this is the list as it was published. It's a formidable list. Do you happen to remember or even have a rough idea of how many names are on that list?
Oh, yes. So the Journal Times list had a total of 459 different names that were published. The funds was $111,000.
Altogether.
From the published list. Ah. Now, per state law, the only funds that are required to be in there are funds of $20 and over. So the under $20 is not in the paper. You can find that on our website. We did include that on the website.
So your list is complete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the total amount of all the unclaimed funds, including everything under $20, was 1,178 names.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's a lot to go after then. So, So give our listeners the website address so they have no trouble at all finding this complete list and consulting it for themselves.
Of course. Our website is racinecounty.com. Racine County is all one word. And then you go to the county treasurer's page, go to the link for unclaimed funds, and then you can find the complete listing of names there on that page.
Okay. So this is a link all of its own
yes.
for just unclaimed funds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that shows how seriously you're taking this matter of trying to track people down and letting them know. So very good. Well, we encourage people to seek out the website of Racine County and finding the link to unclaimed funds. And there will be a complete list of everybody who has money coming from Racine County. And of course, also there, I believe, is some of the information you shared today in terms of the answers to frequently asked questions.
That's right.
Very good. Jane Nicolai is Racine County Treasurer, and Malerskoff is paralegal. And we appreciate you coming in and sharing this important information today with our listeners. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the morning show, you'll hear the interview that I'm going to be recording with author Jonathan Carmel about his new book, which is called Dying to Work. It is a book about the history of workforce safety, or let's say lack thereof, and how in the United States, at least generally speaking, we have had actually a very poor record when it comes to workforce safety. And he is actually an attorney who works in the field of work safety. And so we'll have that conversation for you tomorrow on the morning show. On Monday, we are very excited indeed to share with you an interview that I recorded the other day with Betsy Aide. She is a substitute teacher here in Kenosha by day. By night, she has been a very busy singer, and especially as of late, she broke through to the next round of the television competition series, The Voice. And I suspect many of you actually got to see that or have heard about her exciting performance. We were able to bring her into the studios to have a conversation about her experience on The Voice, and that conversation will air on Monday. On Tuesday, it will be Brian Albrecht's monthly visit to the morning show. He's the president of Gateway Technical College. On Wednesday, Carol Sabar and Mia Bennett from Carthage will be here to talk about some of the initiatives underway at Carthage to make the Carthage community greener. And next Thursday, we will be talking about a new play that is about to open at Carthage, which is Marie Antoinette. It's kind of a contemporary twist on a historic tale. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived on our website, which is WGTD.org. And we want to remind you that the morning show is now available as a podcast.